Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome. Happy Wednesday. Happy National Letter of Intent Day. College football's National Letter of Intent Day is upon us. And for the Nittany Lion football program, replenished with 24 scholarships being signed, 5 early entries and 19 new ones today. The fax machine was humming this morning at the Lash Building. It is great to have you with us. And that leads up to the recruiting event in the Jordan Center coming up today. We welcome you to the Sunbury Motors Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We cannot thank them enough for being our sponsor since day one of the Sunbury Motors Studio, as we are now in our third year of our show here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Later in the show, we're going to talk with Tim Owen of Blue White Illustrated and Greg Pickle of Fight On State. All right? That's coming up in the next 2.5 hours, and then we're going to close out with Mitch Williams of an interview we did earlier with him. The wild thing who was with the Phillies in 93, now with MLB Network. But with this being National Letter of Intent Day, we wanted to rerun an interview we had yesterday with James Franklin. They're going to have the recruiting event tonight in the Jordan Center. The doors are going to open at 5 o'clock. It's a $5 admission fee to get in. Michael Motti is going to rev up the crowd. Then LeVar Arrington is going to be the MC with James Franklin, of course, the centerpiece. He is going to go through on screens tapes of all the recruits that Penn State was able to sign today. And then they're going to have Skype interviews with some of the recruits that they signed today. It's a big recruiting event, first ever here at Penn State, and it'll be in the Bryce Jordan Center tonight, and it'll start at 6 o'clock. They'll open the doors at 5, and now that the weather's cleared up just a bit, it's a little bit easier for people in the Valley to get there. Yesterday on the show, we had the head football coach of the Nittany Lions, James Franklin, on. So keep in mind when you hear a couple of references to tomorrow, the event is actually coming up tonight. But some of the thoughts of the head coach of the Nittany Lions on his first recruiting class at Penn State.
Thank you so much for having us on. Fired up.
Yeah, fired up indeed. Let's talk about the event coming up tomorrow night. You know, it's going to be at 6 o'clock. They'll open the doors at 5. What do you want to do with that event tomorrow night in terms of connecting these recruits with the university and the fans?
I think that's exactly what we're trying to do. Me and my staff, you know, our players, the incoming freshmen. You know, to me, the thing that makes college football so exciting is it's not a fall sport. You know, you have the games to get excited about during the fall, but you know, people follow recruiting as intensely as they do the regular season. So this is an opportunity to celebrate the future, what our future holds, able to get out and connect with the community and the campus, continue to build relationships and have fun. And it's an opportunity to bring everybody together. Wearing white, we would like it to be a whiteout. And, you know, I think Michael Maldi's coming back. He's going to be kind of be the hype man, get everybody excited. And LeVar's going to be up there emceeing the event with me, the cheerleaders, the band, everybody's going to be there. And it's a celebration of our future and where we're going.
Yeah, I talked to LeVar at Super Bowl Media Day last week. We were both in New York for that, and he was excited about the event. You talked about connecting, and you've always talked to me and everybody else about relationships. Obviously, there are certain recruits in this class where you develop those strong relationships, and they're going to come here to Penn State. But there are also others that you probably had not or had on the peripheral of recruiting that you had to quickly build a relationship with. What was that process like with a few guys that you didn't know to build that relationship and trust that Penn State was the right place and James Franklin was the right place?
Yeah, that's difficult. I mean, this is an unusual year. You know, obviously, you're looking in a situation where typically it takes a year and a half to 2 years to really recruit a class and put it together. I think, first of all, I think Penn State really helps with that because this school offers everything that young men and their families are looking for. And then I think the other thing is, you know, I got a staff that's very relatable. I got a staff that's very genuine. And I think, you know, once we're able to get into the homes, once we're able to get around these kids, they see that, you know, and we're willing to answer the tough questions. We're willing to have the tough conversation and discussions and work through some things. But in the end, I think it comes down to a gut feeling and people feeling comfortable with us and the leadership of this program. And then, obviously, the history and traditions of this place speaks for itself.
when you recruit the young man, obviously you try to build that trust in the relationship. How important is it also to you to build that same, to build a strong relationship with parent or caretaker, because you are taking their son for obviously the next 4 or 5 years?
Oh, I think it's very, very important. It's very important, obviously, to have the relationship with the kid, but you're not going to be able to get it done and do it with just the kid. You know, it may be the high school coach, it may be the parents, it may be a combination of both. It may be an uncle. You know, it might be somebody that, you know, has got a very, very close relationship with the family and has for a long time. So you got to figure out who those people are. You know, and it's like, you know, always, you know, when these young men decide to come, you know, these young men got in this position because of their support system and the people that have been there for them. And I got to have a relationship with those people as well, so they feel comfortable to pick up the phone and call me if there's a concern or there's an issue. This is not, you know, this isn't going to go perfect. These guys went from being, you know, the best players and the biggest, strongest, fastest guys in high school, and they're not anymore. And there's going to be homesickness. There's going to be adversity they're going to have to fight through. And when you have those relationships and you've sat in the home and broke bread and paid respect at the high school as well, you're able to work through those things together because you know the right people to call.
We know that in the SEC, the emphasis almost across the board is on speed, almost across the board. Maybe some of the big guys in front, but even they have to be somewhat athletic too. Is that your point of emphasis when you're looking at people in terms of the athleticism part, the speed area?
Yeah, I can't speak about conferences, but I know that's how we're going to build it here at Penn State. We're going to be the fastest team in the Big Ten. And when you say that, a lot of people think you're talking about the DBs and the wide receivers, but I'm talking about the kickers. I'm talking about the O-linemen.
Right.
I'm talking about every position. They've got to be able to move. It's got to have flexibility. It's got to have functional movement, you know, to their position. But we want athleticism and speed and explosive athletic players at every single position on our team.
When you sit down and you look at what you've been able to do and accomplish and how the pieces can potentially fit, and I throw that list of names in front of you, do you like the list of names you have?
I do. I really do, and especially considering the circumstances. I mean, I'm so proud of the staff and the players that hosted and things like that. I mean, think about it. I mean, again, it takes a 2 years to a year and a half to put a recruiting class together, and we've done fairly well considering we've had about 2 weeks to do it. So you know, I'm very, very pleased. The guys just kept recruiting and kept a positive attitude. Like I said before, there's so many positive things to sell here. And you know, and people believe that. People believe in kind of where we're going, the direction. They look at our history and the success that we've had in the past, and now we're at a school that has all the resources to allow everybody to reach their dreams. So, you know, I'm very, very proud. I'm very appreciative of all the hard work that everybody's put in.
You mentioned the year and a half to 2 years it takes to build a relationship, which then brings forward the next part, 15 and 16. What kind of start do you have there based on the fact that you had to just go through a three-week compressed recruiting cycle?
Yeah, I think we're behind. There's no doubt about it because most people have most of the recruiting class put together. So now, this time of year, they're really spending the last month or two recruiting underclassmen. So we're behind. There's no doubt about it. It'll take till, you know, the following recruiting class for us to be caught up. But, you know, I like our chances. You know, there's some things that we got to get done and some things from a facility standpoint that we need to do and, you know, continue to develop relationships and make sure we know where all the great players are. I think we got a pretty good start, but we're behind. But we'll make that up real quick with great attitudes and hard work. It's amazing what you can get done.
James, how energized have you been by this 3 weeks and by this process?
Well, I love it. I mean, I'm a psycho in general. I mean, I wake up, do backhands, spring out of bed every single morning, go attack the day. I love making a difference in people's lives and coaching young people. That's why I love college football so much. You know, recruiting high school athletes and helping them develop and, you know, coming to the office every single day with my family, my football family. I love it. So, I mean, this is just kind of who I am. I'm a football psycho. Try to be the best football coach, try to be the best father and husband and person I possibly can be. And I think, you know, we tell our guys all the time, the more days you put together like that, academically, athletically, socially, and spiritually, the Saturdays will start taking care of themselves.
Well, great. Then you have your announcer psycho. So you're okay.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. We're going to work well together.
Yeah, we sure are. I'm looking forward to every minute of it. One final question, and then I'll let you go, and that deals with tomorrow. Whiteout, open the doors at 5. Admission is $5 to get in. Program starts at 6. What can they expect in the program? What are some basics you want in that program tomorrow, Nate?
Well, I think the biggest thing is we just want to have fun. We want to interact with the community. We want to interact with the fans. You know, we want to, you know, show the direction of the program, where we're going. You know, Michael Maldi's going to be there. He's going to get everybody excited, kind of the hype man. LeVar Arrington's going to do a great job with us as well. The media, the fans, the band, the cheerleaders. This is a celebration of Penn State football and where we're going. So I think everybody's really excited about it.
James, thanks so much. Appreciate it. Know you have to move on to something else, and we just appreciate that you carved out a few minutes for us.
Guys, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
James Franklin, the head football coach of the Nittany Lions. The event is tonight. I know I referenced in there a couple of times tomorrow because the interview was on yesterday's Steve Jones show. But we wanted to replay it for you at a different time, too, because the audience changes over and so forth. But that sets the tone for what we're doing today. The event is tonight in the Jordan Center. It gets underway. They'll open the doors 90 minutes from now. It's a $5 admission fee. 2.5 hours from now is when they'll start the event with Michael Motti as the warm-up. LeVar Arrington, the MC, James Franklin, the headliner, and then they will show videos of all of the recruits in this class. And then they'll also have Skype interviews with some of the members of this class as well. Of course, 5 of them are already on campus. You already have 5 early entries. Show sets up like this. We're going to have Greg Pickle of Fight on State coming up next. And then in the next half hour at 4:06, we'll transition over to Tim Owen of Blue White Illustrated. We'll get the thoughts from each on the recruiting class here at Penn State. And also tomorrow, Tim Van Noren from ESPN.com on the big picture in the Big Ten. We'll take a look at Big Ten recruiting on tomorrow's show, along with Jeff Byers, the play-by-play voice of Penn State Wrestling. So it leads into Nittany Lion basketball tomorrow night. Penn State will play at Michigan State. That will be a 9 o'clock start tomorrow night from the Breslin Center, and we'll be on tomorrow night beginning at 8:30. So we're looking forward to that. So it's a big day. It's National Letter of Intent Day. This is where the cupboard gets restocked. I thought James Franklin, one of the interesting parts, he said, we will start recovering in terms of the ability to stock the shelves for 15 and 16. He knows they fell a little bit behind because of the whirlwind of the last 3 weeks. But the bottom line is that they want to recruit speed. They want to recruit speed across the board. And when he talks about speed across the board, he doesn't just mean the secondary and wideouts. He wants speed straight ahead and lateral speed at linebacker. He wants speed among his tight ends, his running backs. He wants his quarterback to have the ability to run. He wants linemen that are athletic and can move. He wants defensive linemen that are athletic and move. There were points last year that Sean Spencer, the defensive line coach for Penn State when he was at Vanderbilt, played 4 defensive ends at once, because he wanted more speed and pass rushing ability on the field. That's, you know, so he wants speed across the board. He also said, look, I want my kicker to run too. Interesting, because there's more to it than that. When you look at special teams, speed is what you need across the board on special teams, especially on the coverage teams. You need to have speed, lane running speed, and you have to have that everywhere. They'll play next year with 75 scholarships. And this recruiting class has gone a long way to filling the depth needs of this class. It is, yes, very heavy on defensive backs and wide receivers. There's no question about that. But there are a couple guys along the way that they picked up that are going to help them at defensive tackle, offensive line, tight end, quarterback down the road. So they were able to fill those needs there. But it was very heavy on defensive backs and very heavy on wide receivers. All right. We head to the bottom of the hour and news. And then after that, it'll be Greg Pickle of Fight on State. He'll join us at 3:35. At 4:06, we'll be joined by Tim Owen of Blue White Illustrated. It's all part of our recruiting special here today as we talk about the Nittany Lion recruiting class of 2014. Our thanks to James Franklin, the head coach of the Nittany Lions, for carving out some time to be with us here on the show. News is next at the bottom of the hour on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us on this snowy Wednesday. Great to be here. Kevin alongside, who's been tracking commitments all day on the Kevin Herr recruit tracker.
I'm dizzy. It was the busiest morning I think I've had in a long time. It was almost like work today. I mean, we just can't. You can't do this very often to me.
I'm sure Lawrence loved it.
Oh, he was ecstatic.
Yeah, anything to excite on the mark. It's our way of doing something, you know, just for, you know, kind of gets him geared up, all juiced up, all set to go. I love that.
I will share this as a kind of a way to cross-promote on the mark the next couple of weeks. We're actually going to have, working with Steve Futterman from CBS News to be a regular guest from 8:30 to 9 for a short period of time from Sochi, just to talk about not necessarily the games themselves, but everything that surrounds the games or everything that's missing in the hotel room, that sort of thing.
If I were you, I'd carve out 2 hours a day for him.
He might have a lot of things to talk about. You're right.
Because that place is a joke.
But yeah,
you know what?
It was a busy day.
But no offense, the number of people that want to talk about what you want to talk about today, minimal.
Listen, this is not going to be an Olympics day. I promise you that, because there's 25 new Nittany Lions to talk about.
Well, Terrence Brown's the one that is the little curveball at the end. He had committed to Southern Mississippi and changed to Penn State as an outside linebacker, and it was a position of need for Penn State. They needed another linebacker in this class. They got one, and he was the one that was not on many boards ahead of time. They knew people last night were talking to him. But he committed this morning. It was interesting. I was there from 7 until probably about quarter after 11 as each one came in. Amani Oruwari was the one I got to announce this morning. And then James Franklin put me on the phone with him. And he says, he says, talk to him. He says, he's the voice of the Nittany Lions. Okay, fine. So I got on the phone with him. I said, well, how did I do? He says, you did pretty well. So, if he makes a play in a game, he's just going to be called Amani.
Good idea. That's the way to go about it.
That's what a couple of the coaches, they said, we gave you a couple of crazy names, didn't we? I said, yeah. I said, that's why. I said, then there's Mark Allen and Marcus Allen.
Not to be confused with a Marcus Allen from the NFL as well.
Right. But Jack Hamm called me today. He says, Marcus Allen. I said, yeah. I said to the coaches, I said, don't you think he's a bit old? All right, let's take you through. We have a lot of draft,
well, it looked kind of like a draft war room from the pictures I saw.
Well, that's the way we announced it, too. When you look at how we did it today, in fact, you know, they would hand me a card, and you know, I said, with the fifth pick in the 2014 recruiting draft,
nice.
The Nittany Lions select Amani Oruwari, defensive back from Tampa, Florida. And that's how we did it. It was fun. Fun way to do it. Greg Pickle, Fight On State, joins us. Greg, I know you're aching to talk about the Olympics. But for the heck of it, we'll talk about recruiting. How you doing today, buddy?
Steve, great to be back, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Well, Greg, here it is. As we work our way through the stretch of this thing, a lot of work had to be done in a short period of time by James Franklin and his staff. Have you taken the time to calculate the mileage put in just by the, you know, heck with the assistant coaches, that's really hard to track, but at least the head coach, the mileage he's tried to put in 3 weeks?
You know, we're working on that for signing day. We'll have a map up over at Fight On State tracking all of Franklin's and the assistant coach's stopper, at least as many as we could track. But, you know, I mean, just in terms of quantifying it, we'll give it a shot. But in terms of putting it into perspective, I mean, this is a staff that came here really with a plan in mind, but, you know, they had to find some guys that perhaps they weren't recruiting at Vanderbilt, that they were recruiting at Vanderbilt, that they had to convince to follow them up to Penn State, or at least to try and get them to come visit. I mean, there was a lot of legwork that had to be done. They had to go visit, you know, the kids that were committed to Bill O'Brien and his staff here, and sometimes a second trip to reassure them. You know, the assistants went once, then Franklin and an assistant went. So, I mean, these guys really put in a lot of work here so far over the last 2-3 weeks just keeping this class intact. And not only have they done that, but they've grown it. Of course, we have them ranked 21st in the nation over at Scout. I mean, it's a sanctioned program ranked 21. And I think, you know, Scott Kennedy, Scout's director of recruiting, put it best this morning when he did his rankings. And he said, you know, this is a program that keeps finding a way to do something with nothing. And I think that's exactly what Penn State did. They took a class that was good, but I think was run out of steam under Bill O'Brien, and James Franklin turned it into obviously a class that could perhaps finish in the top 20, if not top 25. So a lot of miles traveled, but it's certainly paying off here coming down the stretch.
No question. We had a caller earlier ask a very interesting question, which I'm going to relay to you. He wanted to know what the impact of the use of social media by this staff and what it's had on the recruiting process.
I think it'll be easier to tell once we get deeper into this 2015 cycle, but I'd say at this point that may have more of a fan effect. You know, these kids all use social media. The last staff used it in the recruiting sense to contact kids through Twitter and Facebook. So the last staff did use it, and that certainly helped get kids here, you know, keep in contact with kids, whatnot. But this staff uses it, of course, to an entirely different level. You know, Herb Hamm tweeting that he was eating Canyon pizza today. You know, these guys are just tweeting out where they're at, where they're making stops. And they're obviously put their face with their Twitter account, which obviously links back to the program. And I think that's big because, you know, I think you find a lot more kids now being able to name more guys on Penn State staff, more coaches on Penn State staff, just simply because they see the retweet. You know, you followed the guy that came to your school, he might retweet another coach. So I think it's an awareness type of thing that it helps in recruiting. It'll definitely help when kids come to campus. They'll know more faces. But in terms of the direct impact, you know, I think the biggest thing right now with that has just been fan-wise and just being fans getting able to being able to know these guys and get to know these guys. And I think it'll have an impact on recruiting. It just takes a little bit of time to be able to gauge just how much. But certainly it's something that's unique somewhat here to Penn State, not so much the entire college football landscape. But, again, I think it's fantastic, and I think it's something that, yeah, you'll see pay dividends down the road.
Greg Pickle with us from Fight On State. Greg, you talked about the legwork that James Franklin and his staff did with the Bill O'Brien recruits. James Franklin's very big on building relationships. He probably had some contact or some relationship with a couple of them along the way. In the end, though, how many did he actually really know, and what kind of building process was there in a short period of time with some recruits maybe he did not know?
Yeah, you know, he knew a few of these guys. I'd say no more than a handful that he had come across at Vanderbilt, and the rest right. of them, you know, a lot of them Northeast guys that didn't hit the big boards down in Nashville. But I've heard nothing but positive comments, not only about James Franklin, but it's about his assistants and the way they build relationships. One parent called them, you know, very genuine people, well exceeding his expectations for anything he could have imagined when he learned James Franklin had been hired and his staff was coming, you know, with him in, for the most part, to Penn State. I think what we've seen here is James Franklin, you know, the first following through on his word, so to speak. He said it is introductory press conference, and then again at a later news conference, that, you know, he's a people person, a relationship builder, and he brought people with him that are like that as well, and they've done it. I'll tell you what, they've done it. I like I said, I've not heard one kid, one parent, one high school coach, you know, really dismayed or disappointed by the interactions they've had with his staff, and James Franklin, of course, is included with that. But in terms of how many relationships and what framework they had to set, there was a lot. You know, there was a fair amount of uneasiness with some of these Bill O'Brien guys, especially the ones that were close with their position coaches, in terms of just general uneasiness so close to signing day. And it did not take long between, you know, the coordinators, Bob Shoop and John Donovan, making stops, the position coaches, and, of course, James Franklin himself, to keep almost all these guys in the class. Of course, the biggest defection being Thomas Holley, the New York defensive tackle to Florida. But by and large, they had to build, you know, 10, 15 new relationships, and they did it with almost no problem.
Here's the next part, and I asked him about this when we had him on the show a couple of weeks ago. I asked him about building positional balance. We know Penn State's numbers are thin. I think there will be 49 active scholarship guys. I mean, like Stanko still counts. He's in school. But 49 active scholarship guys. The goal is to get, obviously, near 75 when this is all said and done. But they also have to come up with a positional balance that not only fits now, but also fits 2 years from now. How well did they do on positional balance?
You know, I think they did very well in terms of what they were presented with when they got here and the way they closed out the class. It starts with offensive tackle for me. It really does. I felt like that was a position they had to get some more bodies at, and they did with Chance Sorrell and Brendan Brosnan, Ohio, and the way natives respectively that were committed to Vanderbilt. So I thought they did a really nice job there getting depth at a position of need. You know, defensive tackle, they obviously could use more bodies there, and I think both tackles will still be an emphasis in the class of 2015. But I think they did well there. But, you know, there is a little bit of overload in this class at running back and at wide receiver, but it's difficult to put that on the shoulders of James Franklin, considering almost all those guys outside of Rutgers, Flip, and New Jersey native Cede Blackwell. And he's a kid you don't turn down regardless of how many receivers you have. We're committed by, or recruited rather, and committed while Bill O'Brien was here. So, you know, is there a bit of an overload at running back and wide receiver in this class? Perhaps, but Bill Belton, Zach Zwinak, both nearing the end of their time in State College. Obviously with Allen Robinson, Brandon Felder, Alex Kenny all gone at wideout. You know, and Deshaun Hamilton being really the guy that we'll be watching here that redshirted last year. You know, they do need bodies at those positions. So maybe you don't take as many next year in a class of 2015. And sometimes that's what this game really comes down to. I know fans will look at it and say, well, they took three running backs. They don't need three running backs this year. But if you want one running back in the next cycle, and that's all you're going to take, and you know the guy you want, you think you have a good chance to land him, and you like three in this one, and you think you can land all three, well, then you take the three now, worry about the one later. And if it all works out the way you think it's going to, you know, things should work out just fine. So, yeah, position-wise, they got another quarterback to go with Michael O'Connor, and, of course, Christian Hackenberg. But I think three scholarship quarterbacks was really a focus of these guys. And I think Bill O'Brien was trying to figure out a way to do it, too, with Tyler Ferguson, of course, deciding to transfer. And they did that as well. You know, they got another safety outside linebacker in Koa Farmer. Outside of defensive tackle, I really find it hard to pick at any of the, the positional breakdowns of this class. I think when we'll look at it in 4 years from now, 5 years from now, when this class is graduating, I think you'll find that almost all these guys contributed some way or some form at a time they were needed to in positions of need.
The NCAA said Penn State could have 75 on scholarship for the 2014 season and a max of 25 signees on February 5th. The rules, though, there's certain areas of the rules where there are loopholes, and Penn State got the five early guys to sign, enter early, and be a part of the 2013 class. The importance of that, Greg, moving forward, that you have that loophole that allowed them to expand out this class at a time of depth need.
Oh, it's without question. And, you know, the biggest reason, two of the biggest guys in the class, offensive tackle Chaz Wright, who came from Milford Academy, a prep school in New York, and Terrell Barney, a JUCO transfer from Mississippi. I mean, these are two guys in a position of need now, right? I think he might redshirt this year and get things straight, make sure everything's good to go academically and physically. But Barney's a guy that can play from day one. He's already in there working out and getting ready to go. So in terms of that on its face, even if it was those two were the only two that you could do it with, to get those two guys in here a position of need is huge. You get DeAndre Tompkins up here as well, and he's already working out. Obviously, he's a guy that we're watching in terms of special teams, perhaps receiver this year, but I feel like he will, you know, have his biggest impact on special teams in his first year here, but you never know. And then Michael O'Connor training with Christian Hackenberg, of course, getting to know the lay of the land through him. And Antoine White, another defensive tackle, you know, position of need that got up here early. You can't, anytime you can do this and get kids on campus in January, you know, obviously, you know, they'd like to have more than five. They would have, you know, I'm sure they'd love to have 25 guys early enroll if that was even possible. It's not really, but, you know, I think at the end of the day, having that ability at a time where you know you need guys in each class to play as freshmen is huge. And I think they got five guys that, you know, if they can get two or three of them to be playing meaningful snaps in Dublin, Ireland, in August, I think it has to be considered a success considering the limited depth.
And because of the way they were able to do it, they end up with 25 recruits and not 20.
Right.
Greg, thanks so much. Appreciate the time. And I know it's an interesting long work day for you, but we appreciate it.
All right, guys, I appreciate it. I'll talk to you soon.
That's Greg Pickle of Fight On State. We'll come back in just a few moments, including Kevin's take on the interview. Always entertaining. If you want, we can portray each of these individuals calling from Russia. Would that...
Doesn't matter. I told you, this day was really fun. I enjoyed seeing the photos and everything.
No, and I talked to Roger. They said it was enjoyable watching you work.
Probably was. It doesn't happen often.
They said, what was that? We'll come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Attention residents of Central PA! The sub-zero temperatures are expected for at least another week, but Sunbury Motors is about to heat things up!
I wanna see you in a Kia. Sunbury Motors Kia.
Sunbury Motors Kia is blasting through this cold winter weather.
Check out these hot deals.
22 of the snow-busted 2014 Sereno all-wheel drive midsize SUVs starting at $23,999. With up to $4,500 off and 0% APR financing available for up to 60 months. How about the all-new redesigned 2014 Kia Soul? 10 to choose from starting at $14,995. Or the 2014 Sportage LX, only $21,965. And every new Kia comes with a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty. Sunbury Motors Kia helps you blast through the cold with these hot deals. Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip at Hummel's Wharf and at sunburymotors.com.
All applicable factory rebates apply. Tax and tax extra must qualify. Specialty incentives apply. 0% financing through K&M. Full effect final price.
All music, all the time, 1070 WKOK.
There was a day.
This wasn't it.
This
is not it. All right. Let's get to Facebook page and get a couple comments in on Facebook. Then we'll have next half hour Tim Owen of Blue White Illustrated to talk about the recruiting for the Penn State Nittany Lions. What we were able to get out of that today. All right, let's check it out. Tony wrote in on Facebook. Why do we have to listen to Kevin every day? I'm sorry. That's a different email. Okay. I've been watching the ESPN recruiting show. I think the fact that these are kids is getting lost. I wonder how some of them are going to feel when they are no longer the star. Just my opinion, but I think for a lot of these kids, their youth is lost. Lots of them play one sport. They do not seem to get the full benefit out of their high school years, which when gone are gone forever. I may be old-fashioned, I know, but I enjoy playing every sport and graduating with my class. I just can't picture Joe Paterno getting all wrapped up in this. No. I didn't know the Penn State recruits until they played. This is getting like the NFL draft. I guess guys from my generation take a little longer to get used to new things. I said new things, not better. Okay, Tony. Interesting. You're right. Joe would not have done it this way. Everybody has their own style and their own way they have to do it that fits them. And this is what fits what James Franklin wants to do. Also, it was not Bill O'Brien's style. He was more open about it than Joe, but didn't fit his style either in terms of doing it this way. But, you know, you have to have your own way of doing things, your own style. It is 2014, and there are a lot of points in there that I absolutely agree with. I think young people are told too often at an early age to concentrate on one sport, and that takes away the fun, to me, of life. I think that's it. And I think that part they're losing without question. As for the hype, I can tell you in no uncertain terms, the first week of August, everybody who's doing cartwheels that they're awesome today will find out exactly how awesome they are by August 10th. You'd be amazed.